Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the end of the kings of Israel as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 19, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel and say, what is thy mother? She's a lioness. She laid down among the lions, and she nourished her whelps among the lions. These are the princes now. Your mother is a lioness. She laid down among the lions, and she brought up one of her whelps, and it became a young lion, and it learned to catch the prey, and it devoured men. And the nations also heard of him, and he was taken in their pit, caught in their trap. And they brought him with chains to the land of Egypt. That would be the prince or the king Jehoahaz. Now when she saw that she had waited and her hope was lost, then she took another of her whelps and made him a young lion. This would be Jehoiachin. And he went up and down among the lions, and he became a young lion and learned to catch the prey and devoured men. And he knew their desolate palaces, and he laid waste their cities, and the land was desolate, and the fullness thereof by the noise of his roaring. Then the nations set against him on every side from the provinces and spread their net over him, and he was taken in their pit. And they put him in a ward in chains, and they brought him to the king of Babylon. And they brought him unto the prisons, the holds, and his voice should no more be heard upon the mountains of Israel. Jehoiachin was carried away captive to Babylon. And thy mother is like a vine in thy blood. Planted by the water, she was fruitful, full of branches by reason of many waters. And she had a strong rods for the scepters of them that bear rule. And her stature was exalted among the thick branches, and she appeared in her height with a multitude of her branches. But she was plucked up in fury. She was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up her fruit, and her strong rods were broken and withered. The fire consumed them, and now she is planted in the wilderness in a dry and a thirsty ground, and fire is gone out of a rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit, so that she hath no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation and shall be a lamentation. It, of course, speaks of the end of the kings of Israel, because of their being conquered. Now it came to pass in the seventh year of the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that a certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord, and they sat before me. Now this evidently was their custom. We read earlier last week where the elders came to sit before Ezekiel to inquire of the Lord. And so the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, speak to the elders of Israel. Now the last time God said, you know, why should I be inquired of them? You know, these guys have idols that they've set up in their hearts. And God's still not speaking to them. Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel, saying to them, thus saith the Lord God, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I'll not be inquired of by you. You've come to get my advice? You've come to get my counsel? I'm not going to counsel you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up my hand to the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt. Now he goes back. Cause them to know their history. Rehearse their history for them. Go back to when they were in Egypt. When I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am Jehovah your God. In the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt into the land which I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands. Now, you go to Israel today and you see a tremendous work of restoration. They have planted millions of trees all over the land. And as the result of the planting of all of these trees, they have been able to change the climate in Israel and creating a lot more humidity and thus a lot more rain. And the land is again becoming a land of streams and a land of greenery as they are getting more and more rains all the time as a result of this reforestation program that they have had. And of course, they've been able to, through drainage canals and planting of eucalyptus trees and all, been able to take a lot of the marshes, the areas that were just swampy, And they've been able to make them very productive as far as the growing of fruit and all. The Sharon Plain that used to be nothing but marshland is now beautiful citrus orchards. The same with the Valley of Megiddo that was marshland. It is now just so verdant and beautiful and green with all of the agriculture that is there. Of course, by their planting and all and bringing water down to Beersheba, they're really creating now a whole new look to this land. Now, when God first brought the children of Israel into the land, it was a land of heavy forest, a land of beautiful streams and forests, a land that flowed with milk and honey. They sort of sneer now because it is a rocky land. And they make jokes out of the rocks, you know, like when God was creating the earth, he sent two angels out with baskets of rocks to distribute around the world. And one angel took and distributed his rocks over half the world, but the other angel was lazy and just dumped all of his rocks on Israel. And it is true that it is a rocky land now, but it wasn't always so. When the Turks took the land, they deliberately cut down all of the forest to just denude the land. And without the trees and all, the topsoil all washed away, and the land became a barren desert wilderness. But of course, except in the valleys, it became marshlands because of all of the silt that plugged up the streams and so forth. And so it developed these marshlands plus the rocky mountains, the barren rocky mountains. Now, the Jews started planting pine trees on these rocky mountains because the pine tree roots are able to go down in the crevices and are able to, actually, as they go down and they swell, they begin to crack the rocks and break them up, creating new topsoil. And all of the planting was done on a scientific basis, and extremely educational and valuable lessons can be learned agriculturally in going over and studying. They've really done the whole thing from a scientific base. Because eucalyptus trees drink up so much water, they planted eucalyptus trees in these marsh areas so that they would drink up gallons of water every day. And of course, they drained the marshes and or drained the rivers and all, and allowed them to flow on out again to the Mediterranean so that you don't have the marshland. And they are really restoring this land in a marvelous way. And it's an exciting thing to see. But when God first brought them into the land, out of Egypt, it was a beautiful, verdant land of forest and streams and all throughout the entire land. It was, according to the Word of God, one of the most beautiful places in the world. And as you see where they are restoring and where the rain has been restored and all, there are some beautiful, beautiful areas. That Sea of Galilee and the areas around the Sea of Galilee, up at Tel Dan, one of the most beautiful places, the water, and the springs and all. It is just lovely, beautiful. And the whole countryside is being restored. And as it is, it's again becoming a place of great beauty. But the land, God said, I spied out this land for them. It was flowing with milk and honey. It was the glory of all of the land. And then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes. That is while they were in Egypt. Don't defile yourself with the idols of Egypt, for I am Jehovah your God. But they rebelled against me. They would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and I brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes. I showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. So God gave the statutes, the judgments. the right way to live. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them. Now, the Sabbath was not assigned to the Gentiles. And there are people today who get on a Sabbath day kick and wonder why we don't worship God on the Sabbath. We do. I worship God every day. But why don't you observe the Sabbath? Because I'm not a Jew. It's a sign between God and the Jew. You say, how can you be so sure? Because God said so. How sure can you be? Exodus 31, 12, when God gave the law of the Sabbath. Exodus 31, 17. It is a sign of 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the seventh day he rested and it was refreshed. So it's a sign between God and Israel. So I am with Paul, I am the type of man that Paul described. One man considers one day above another, that's not me. But another man considers every day alike, that's me. I'm sort of boring to be around because as far as I'm concerned, every day is alike. Anniversary, birthday, so what, you know. Every day's alike. You know, people set days and, oh, you know, this is a special day. Just another day. As far as I'm concerned, they're all the Lord's day. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man do, he would live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. God said to Moses, stand back and wipe them out. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. Now, they didn't obey me in Egypt. They didn't obey me in the wilderness. Yet I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands, the glorious land. Because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but they polluted my Sabbaths. For their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eye spared them from destroying them, and neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, so he cast the fathers out, they failed. So I spoke then to their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am Jehovah your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am Jehovah your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths, and then I said I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and withheld for my name's sake that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen in whose sight I brought them forth. And I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries. God spoke to them through Moses and said, look, God is going to scatter you throughout all the nations. He's going to disperse you among the nations. That's in the song that Moses taught them so that when they were scattered, that they would be singing the song and they'd remember God warned them of this. If you turn from God and all, then God will turn you over into the hands of your enemies and you'll be dispersed throughout among the nations. You become a curse and a byword on the lips of all the people. Because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, have polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good. He said, all right, verse 39, go serve everyone as idols. In other words, God says, all right, that's what you want, do it. So he gave them statutes that were not good. You know, he saw that they were bent in that direction. All right, if that's what you want to do, do it. It's terrible when God gives up on a person and just turns him over to his own desires, to his own destruction. And I polluted them in their own gifts and caused them to pass through the fire, all that opened the wound, that I might make them desolate to the end that they might know that I am the Lord. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel and say unto them, thus saith Jehovah God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I have brought them into the land, for the which I lifted up my hand to give it to them. When I finally brought them in here, then they saw every high hill and all of the thick trees, the forest, and they offered there their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offerings, which there also they made their sweet savor and poured out their drink offerings. So I brought them finally into the land, and they saw the beauty, the hills and all, and they began to worship on every one of these hills, these false gods. Then I said to them, what is the high place whereunto you go? And the name thereof is called Bama to this day, which means high place. Wherefore say to the house of Israel, thus saith Jehovah God, are you polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredoms after their abominations? For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith Jehovah God, I'll not be inquired by you. So here they are sitting before prophet Ezekiel saying, inquire the Lord for us. And God says, hey, Ezekiel, just tell him the history. And then say, should I be inquired of by you? No way. And that which comes into your mind shall not be at all that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith Jehovah God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you have scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith Jehovah God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me, and I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So God says, I will come again in that day. And of course, this day is in the future, but God is going to cause them to pass under the rod, to enter into the covenant. There will be those that God will deal with, that he will bring into the land, and he will bless, and he will favor. But he's going to rule. They will have to make that commitment unto God. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith Jehovah God, go ye serve every one his idols. Hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel and all of them of the land serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people. This is when Christ returns and the gathering together again of the people into the land, and God will then accept them as his people. And he will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And ye shall know that I am Jehovah when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up my hand to give it to your fathers. And there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled. And ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all of the evils that you have committed. It said that in Zechariah prophesies, and when they see Christ, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn and wail over him as a mother wails over her only son who has been killed. Oh, when they realize what they have done, what they have missed in the rejection of their Messiah, weeping. But it will be a glorious thing because it will be the weeping of repentance, and it will be their restoration in their life and their glory. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith Jehovah God, the Lord God, Adonai here. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, set thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field, and say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree. in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming fire shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see it, that I, the Lord, have kindled it, and it shall not be quenched. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? They're already saying, Lord, he's speaking in parables. And now I tell him this, and they're going to just give me a bad time. But, of course, God is here speaking this parable of the forest of the south field, in which he is prophesying the fact that Jerusalem is to be burned, and this is the end. And, of course, this is the final prophecy. After this prophecy, Jerusalem, the news came of Jerusalem's destruction. And so this is the last prophecy before the news of the destruction of Jerusalem arrived to Babylon. And now, beginning with chapter 21, we get into a new set of prophecies after now that Jerusalem has fallen and those in Babylon have realized it so.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast. As Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 19 through 20 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and strengthen you for this week. May the anointing of God's Holy Spirit rest upon your life. And through His beauty, may your life shine forth. May God cause the fullness of His Spirit to rest upon you. And may your life be a strong testimony and a witness to those around of the grace and the love of our Lord. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
It's with great honor that The Word for Today would like to present Pastor Chuck Smith's book entitled Prayer, Our Glorious Privilege. With great clarity, Pastor Chuck masterfully taught the principles of praying to God, our Father, and emphasized the power that belongs to each one of us when we rely on the Holy Spirit to guide and nurture our prayer lives. I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, Prayer, Our Glorious Privilege, and study it to put these biblical principles into practice. Read this book and come to the most amazing realization that prayer is the most potent weapon in your spiritual arsenal, and use it with great promise and hope. For when you begin a life of prayer, you begin a great adventure. To order a copy of this book in print or to download a digital copy, please visit thewordfortoday.org or call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.